Well, thank the Lord this morning for His salvation. What a wonderful, mighty, loving, kind, righteous God we serve. One of the greatest hindrances to man in any aspect of life is ignorance. Ignorance is not a sin per se, but it can certainly be a tremendous hindrance and a great roadblock. And ignorance can be a tool that Satan uses to harm us or to work against us. Ignorance of God, ignorance of His power, ignorance of His kingdom, ignorance of His love, ignorance of the things that God hath provided for them that love Him, all those can be impediments in our joy, our happiness, and our quest for eternal life. I thought about Sister Julie's testimony there toward the first. She learned and has learned a valuable lesson. She's not ignorant of Satan's devices. And that's so important for us to know that we have an enemy, but also we need to also know we have a kingdom. We have a king. And that king is the Lord of hosts. And that king today is mighty in battle. So where's your battle today? There's a kingdom you can be in, and there's a king over the kingdom. And we don't have to be ignorant of His power, of His love, of His majesty, and the grace that is extended to us because He lives, because He reigns. Thank the Lord this morning that we do not have to stumble along in darkness, and that we don't have to grope in our own righteousness or grope around in our ignorance. But God Himself has revealed Himself to us in the face of Jesus Christ. And now we can have that great light living and dwelling in every one of us. Reach out today for it. Reach out and receive it. Reach out and embrace it. Reach out and walk in it. And let the light of God dispel the darkness that so wants to come upon us. And thank God, though, He's greater than that old dark one. A few weeks ago, we had a message that I continued. Felt like the Lord would have us continue it. Last couple of Sundays, it seems like for various reasons, the Lord had us go maybe another direction. But if I may today, I'd like to think about something we've already spoke about already, and that's God's kingdom and the kingship of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I'd like to think about how we don't have to be ignorant today of that kingdom, of the glory that's in that kingdom, and our rights in that kingdom. We said earlier that one thing Satan would like to do for the Christian is make us ignorant or unaware of the kingdom and what is in the kingdom and what the kingdom is, the power and the majesty of it. He would like for us to think that the kingdom of God, the church of God, the body of Christ, is just another option we have in man's desire to be fulfilled or pleased or find some type of security for his soul. But Jesus has exclaimed to us that He is the only name given, that He is the only way, the only truth, and the only light, and He is absolutely the only way to the Father. So that makes it very important that we know what God and what Christ has to say. Satan wants you and me not to realize the value of recognizing the body of Christ and for what it is. If you and me are ignorant of something, we're unable to draw from its resources or from its strengths or its power or its help. If you and I are ignorant of a better place, it's not any desire within us then to go to that place if we do not know that it exists. If we have no true knowledge of salvation and the truth of salvation and the power of salvation, then you and I have nothing to strive for. And Satan has work to work And we have all kind of sects. We have all kind of creeds. We have all kind of religions. We have all kind of belief systems in this world. Trying to assure those followers that everything they need is in that. Yet we see war, we see lust, we see anger, we see fear, we see greed. We see all the manifestations of the flesh running rampant today. It tells me that those things aren't working. Surely God has a kingdom. Surely God has something that you and I can have victory and power and be blessed in our relationship with Him. I'm glad today that there is a kingdom of God. To have a kingdom, the one thing you must have is a king. Cannot have a kingdom without a king. And to have a kingdom, there must be servants in the kingdom. You could rise up and say, I'm king. Well, where's your kingdom? Well, I haven't got it yet. Well, that's not much of a kingdom, is it? I'm glad this morning that the kingdom of God has a king, Jesus Christ. And I'm glad this morning that the kingdom has subjects, the body or the church of God. The people who are redeemed and have washed their robes in the blood of the Lamb and have found salvation and deliverance from sin. Last time we spoke, we said this that was over in John 18 and 36, that the Lord Himself said that His kingdom was not of this world. One of the things that we don't want to be ignorant of and go around trying to find the kingdom of God in a literal sense. In John 6 and 38, He said, I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of Him that sent me. When Christ came, He came with a plan and a mission and a reason for coming. He came to fulfill all that was spoken of Him. He came to fulfill the law. He came to fulfill the fullness of the law. And He came to establish the kingdom of God here in this earth. But it did not come from man. It did not come after the pattern that men patterned kingdoms after. But it was patterned after a heavenly design. It was patterned after the mind and the heart and the spirit of the divine Himself. So Jesus said, do not begin to look for the kingdom under what the world would say a kingdom looks like. It's greater than this. In Hebrews, He said, He came to do Thy will, O God. And it meant that He, in doing that, He took away that which was first, that He may establish that which was second. The reason we brought some of this out is because there is a belief in the world today that the kingdom of God is yet to be established. But Jesus Christ came to build a church and establish the church because it was the will of God in these last days, in these last times, for the kingdom to be established, and you and me can now flow into it and find the righteousness and the victory and the strength and the protection and the glory of the kingdom of God here in this life. We read over in Daniel, the second chapter in the 44th verse, how there would be four universal kingdoms, and we know them well. We've studied them probably many times before. And He said in the days of these four kings, four kingdoms, in some place in that time period, that the God of heaven Himself would establish the kingdom. It would be His kingdom, the kingdom of God. And it'd be not left to other people. And He would rule it forever. And He would not allow another one to usurp authority of that. We know this, that Jesus Christ came during the Roman Empire's reign on this earth. That was one of the four kingdoms that was specified in the second chapter of Daniel. And we know then that Jesus Christ, and we talked about this, came and established His kingdom during that time period. That's when Christ was born. That's when Christ died. That's when Christ was resurrected. That's during the same time that the day of Pentecost and the Holy Ghost was given, was during the reign of the Roman Empire. In Isaiah, the second chapter, I want to read this. We quoted it last time, but I had not wrote it down to read it. In Isaiah, the second chapter, concerning the church of God and the kingdom of God, in Isaiah 2 and 1 through 3, the word that Isaiah, the son of Amoz, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. And it shall come to pass in the last days. When we read this phrase, last days, in the Bible, it is speaking of the gospel dispensation. It is speaking of the time of Christ. There will not be another dispensation. There will not come another. He is the only name given. And Hebrews tells us, in these last days hath He spoken to us by His Son, whom He hath made heir of all things. Everything God has now is in Jesus Christ. And in these last days, He's already spoken to us. So we recognize that when the Bible speaks about the last days, He's speaking about the advent of Christ, the gospel dispensation. And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. And many people shall go and say, come ye, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of Jacob, God of Jacob, and He will teach us of His ways, and we will walk in His paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. In the second verse, he speaks about the Lord Himself will establish in the last days the mountain, the pyramid of His house, the height of what God has for us. And what God has for us in the kingdom will be exalted above everything else that has ever been or anything that will ever be. It is exalted above the creeds and the teachings and the religions of men. It is exalted above the ignorance that Satan would like to impose on man. It is exalted above the darkness that's in the half-truths of sectism. He said it would be a mountain above all the hills, something greater than any man-made institution, something greater than any coming together of men in their wisdom and in their good intentions. The God of heaven Himself shall establish this kingdom, and it will be exalted. We need to be thankful today that God has established the church of God. We do not owe our salvation then to any other, we know that, but also we do not owe our allegiance to any other. We serve the King, we serve Christ, and it's an exalted position. It's the mountain of the Lord that He Himself will establish. And He said of this that all nations, the Jew, the Gentile, men from every race, men and women from all parts of the earth, men and women out of every experience of life, has the great opportunity now to flow into this kingdom and be joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Regardless of how dark our sins are, regardless of how dark our sins were, regardless of the mistakes and the sorrows and the things that have beset us in life, we have the privilege now to be liberated, set free, and flow into the mountain of the Lord. And out of this mountain shall go truth. Out of this city of Zion, out of the very church of God, God will anoint and give the keys of the kingdom. The truths, the righteousness of God shall be exhibited in her. And you and I have the wonderful privilege of being a testimony to the glory and the exaltedness of the church of the living God, the power of God working in men's life to liberate us from the ignorance and the darkness that's in sin, from the ignorance and the darkness that's in man's institutions. Praise the Lord this morning that the Lord Himself has built a kingdom, and He gives it to us. He gives us the keys. Oh, I can't put anyone in, and I can't take anyone out. What is the keys of the kingdom? In part, it is the Word of God that is preached unto you. Not just because I preach it, but we heard the other day about the preaching. It's every one of us testifying of the Word of God and the truth of the Word of God. Light breaks at last, and this light dispels the darkness of ignorance and misunderstandings in life. And God has given to us that privilege of knowing the truth. And that truth will set us free. We spoke last of how Jesus Christ said, I am the door, 10 and 9 of John. He said, if any man would enter in, he shall go in and go out. So he shall be saved first, and then he shall go in and out and find pasture. Jesus Christ is the door. And no man cometh unto the Father or to the kingdom but by him. We're glad this morning to say that Jesus Christ has come and he's made available to us that which he established. That's the kingdom or the church or the body. So now let's go on and consider some other scriptures concerning the kingdom of God. I think it's vital for us to understand that there is a kingdom and how it came to be and who established it, its power, its victory, its glory, its liberty, its joy, all the things, the security that's in the kingdom, all the things that God hath provided for them that love him, will find it in the kingdom of God. It is a gift to God. And while we're speaking to us here today, we also know the kingdom of God is universal. It is to whoever will forsake their sins and call on Jesus Christ for salvation. They can be born and translated out of sin and born into the glorious kingdom of God. But we're speaking to us here today. We're not speaking to the whole world. We're talking among ourselves this morning. And it's so vital for you and me to understand the truths concerning the kingdom. Because we are epistles. We are witnesses. We are ambassadors for the kingdom. And we want to represent the kingdom in its fullness, in its glory, in its beauty. We don't want to be false witnesses. We don't want to misrepresent our king. An ambassador speaks not for himself. The ambassador speaks for the king. The ambassador does not go tell the other dignitaries of state what he thinks. He says what the president thinks, what the king thinks. He does not come up with his own foreign policy. He does not come up with his own national security. He is an ambassador of the president or the ambassador of the king. We are ambassadors of the king. We are the members of Christ's body. We are those who are to go into all the world. We need to know our king. We need to know the kingdom. We need to be rooted and grounded in the truth. We need to have a vision of the exalted mountain of the Lord, high above all man-made institutions and above everything. Now, let's look here in the 16th chapter of Matthew, scripture we know well. But it's vital, and it's something we must commit to our heart and commit to our memory. It's the 16th chapter of Matthew, the 13th verse. I want to read some of that. When Jesus came to the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Who do they say I am, Peter, James, John? What do you hear? And they said unto him, some say thou art John the Baptist, and some say Elias, and other Jeremias, or one of the prophets. Their ignorance is telling them one thing, or telling them another thing. Have you noticed that when men's minds start working on a solution or an answer, they can come up with all kind of answers? And I think this represents in part how men left without divine revelation is subject to just what they think or what they understand. And some said, well, he's John the Baptist that has come back. Some said he's Elijah that's come back. Well, some said it's Jeremiah has come back. It's left to what you think or what I think and my understanding or your understanding. And then he said, lo, no, excuse me. But he saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? He looked at them. I can see him asking this as a penetrating question. And he wants to penetrate us today. He wants to penetrate our ignorance. He wants to penetrate our thinking. Did you know it's good to ask a question sometimes? Because it causes the person that's being asked to think and to realize, what do I believe? What do I think? What are my standards? What do I really see about the kingdom of God? What do I really believe concerning Jesus? What do I really believe concerning the doctrines? What do I really believe? The Lord, I can in my mind see Him asking them, looking straight into their eyes in a most serious way. But who do you say? Not what they say. Not what you read. Not what you hear on the radio. Not what sectism teaches. Not what false doctrine puts out. Not what all the people of the world will say. But after having assessed me, after thinking about it and reading and hearing about me, after walking with me, after handling me, after being exposed to me and to my love and my graciousness and my power, men, who do you say that I am? God wants you and me to know who He is. He wants us to know He is above all principalities. He wants us to know He is the King immortal. He is the only true God. He wants us to know that Jesus Christ is absolutely the only way, and that Jesus has a literal spiritual body on this earth today. And He did come to establish His kingdom today and not tomorrow or not in a millennial or not in an age to come. But He really came to do something for us today. He wants us to know His glory and His power. And you'll find as we read on here, it's important what we think. It's important who reveals it to us. It's important to where we get it from. And it's important to how we carry it out. Who do you say He is this morning? Is He the Jesus of the literature that's all going around out there? Is He the Jesus of confusion? Is He the Jesus of weakness and no power and no authority? Is He a Jesus that is subject to the whims and the understandings of man only? Is He a Jesus and a God and a kingdom who is subject to what man declare He can do and that's all? Or is He above all principalities? Is He above all powers? Is He above all mindsets? Is He above all the doctrines and the creed of men? Who do we say He is this morning? Oh, have you been with Him long enough? You've had time. I've had time to know Him, saints. I don't have an excuse for not knowing Him this morning. I've heard about it long enough. I needed to have done some digging by now. I needed to have done some soul searching, and you too today. Probably none of us right here today can plead, well, I just heard about it yesterday. Who is He to us? It's time that we have done in the past some digging, some praying, some searching, and find out who He really is. And Simon Peter, the fast one, the boisterous one, the one that spoke up kind of sometimes prematurely, but he wasn't premature on this one. He was honored of Christ for it. And Simon Peter, he said, Thou art the Messiah, the Christ. Thou art the Anointed One. Thou art the one sent from God. Thou art the one that has been promised. Thou art the one in whom all the fullness of the Godhead is. Thou art the one who has liberty for the captives and the slaves of sin. Thou art the one who came to establish the kingdom. Thou art the Son, the Messiah, the Anointed One. Thou art the Son of the living God. Praise God this morning. We must understand that. And we must understand it more than just a simple head knowledge. We sang a song earlier, it is true in my heart, within my heart. How vital that is, young people. Young married couples, how vital. You must know it in your heart. You look at that child you hold on your lap, or that child that you dress and send off to school every day. That child's soul is in your hands right now. That little one you cuddle and laugh with, and one you praise when they do good. That little child that you haven't had yet, but you're expecting to be a mother. You're expecting to be a father one day. It's vital for you to know who Jesus is. You need to know He's the King. You need to know He came to establish something. You're going to be the vehicle that imparts Jesus to your children. You are the ambassador to your home. You are the ambassador to the little ones that says, Mommy, Daddy, what is this? And they hold up a snake or something. They need to know the dangers of life and the joys of life, and they need to know the power of the devil and the glorious power of Jesus Christ. They need to know about a kingdom that they can be a part of. And they need to see from you and from us older folks the joy and the liberty of the kingdom, the freedom of sin that's in the kingdom. We need to be able to declare to them unashamedly, I have found it, Lord, in Thee, an everlasting store. I have found the King, found the Messiah. Oh, saints, you must know. We must know. The world puts out too much false information. We must know. Buildings crop up all around us. They gain their entertainment. They gain their, well, it's okay to do this and it's okay to do that. Just say you love Jesus and doctrine doesn't matter and etc. We need to know, we need to know, we need to know. I want to impress you young people again. And you young adults and you with children right now. You're God to those children. And I don't mean that sacrilegious. I don't mean that in any way disrespectful. What they know about God, they know from you. Grandmas and grandpas, let's be real careful. We need to know who Jesus is. Here's what happened. And Jesus said unto them, Blessed, happy, fulfilled, richer are you, Simon Bar-Jonah. You've been blessed with some insight that's very important. And He said, flesh and blood didn't tell you that. Paul said it this way, neither did I receive it from man or something like that. He didn't owe his authority as an apostle from man. But you know what? The same thing Paul taught, God taught Paul, He taught Peter, James, and John also. But He taught it in a very different way. He gave them different administrations. But they believed in the same Christ, in the same kingdom, and they taught the same doctrine. May we this morning realize that our revelation does not come from man. Now, we can teach one another, and we can testify, and we can prophesy to one another. We can speak, and this word prophesy in part means we can speak to edification in the chapel, in the church. We can do that, and that's vital. Because God gives you insight that I need. See? But the revelation of it does not come from man. It's not a creed. It's not something we promise and swear and sign our name to. It's not a contract as such. But it is something God speaks to the converted heart and reveals the kingdom of God. We need to see it, folks. Because I want to tell you why. Satan's trying to steal it. And if you and me do not value that, we'll let him steal it. We'll let him water it down. We'll let him take away the majesty of it. How do we get this revelation? Jesus said it quite simply, you must be born again. This born again experience is vital to entering in at the door. Hence, it's vital to enter in to the kingdom. I pledge allegiance to the United States of America. Folks, we've got to come to a place that we pledge our allegiance to the cross and to the one who died there. We've got to renounce the hidden things of darkness. We've got to be sorry for sin. We've got to leave that old land, and not by our power by any means. We've got to leave the kingdom of darkness and by the glorious power of Jesus Christ be translated out of that kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom of God's dear Son. All through the Bible, Scripture after Scripture teaches us about a kingdom. Not to come, but translated now. Out of the kingdom of darkness now, and into the kingdom of God's dear Son now. But this experience of where we are sorry for our sins, where we recognize the need to cry, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner, and renounce the wrong that I'm doing, deplore it, hate it, ask God for that new heart and that new birth. The revelation cannot come to an unregenerated soul. We may can have a head knowledge, and we might understand the theory of it, but the revelation that Jesus Christ said, upon this I'll build my church. Not on Peter, but on the revelation of Jesus Christ. When Christ is revealed, the church is established in our hearts. Now, granted, when we're saved, we're in the church. But I'm talking now about revealing it to us. Understanding the power of it. The glory of it. Or should I say it this way? We're at the threshold of a beautiful learning experience. Instead of being in darkness, we have entered into the marvelous light. And that light shines more and more. Those who know it best seem hungering and thirsting to hear it like the rest. There's some folks here older than me. Why do you keep coming to service? You've heard. Brother Stanley's not going to tell you anything you hadn't already heard. You know? And men more eloquent, better versed in the Scriptures have already told you what I'm telling you, what I'm saying this morning. But there's a hunger for that light that shines more and more to the perfect day. When I enter in at the door and I am born from above, the opportunities are limitless. Totally limitless. If I read and obey, what is it? Trust and obey, the song says. If I will look into His Word and allow Him to teach me and to eat the Word, the horizons have no limits. And we can soar in the sunlight. And we can be free indeed. And we can be let out as a bird out of its prison. We can take our flight. Oh, this morning, if I teach, one writer said, let my tongue cleave to the roof of my mouth if I forget thee, O Zion, and I'm not quoting that just right. May this preacher say this morning, if I do not teach the kingdom of God in its glory, beauty, power, may my tongue cleave to the roof of my mouth. We have a very glorious kingdom. It's a glorious kingdom of God. And we need to teach it in all its fullness and not be ashamed of it, but thank God for it. When this revelation comes from Jesus Christ, the church is established in our life, if you will. I know there's other ways of looking at this. But may we this morning recognize the essentialness of having God Himself establish the kingdom in our life and Him Himself reveal this to us. I would like to read, again, I'll tell you again, I had a lot of scriptures. I wrote them down, but I'll read them in their entirety. In Psalms 87 and 1, a beautiful song, beautiful, beautiful truth in it. Psalms 87 and 1 through 6. It's a song or a psalm for the sons of Korah. His foundation is in the holy mountains. The Lord loveth the gates of Zion more than all the dwellings of Jacob. Glorious things are spoken of thee, O city of God, Selah. Pause for a moment and reflect that the God of heaven said of Zion itself, and not of the Zion of old, but he's speaking here also of the Zion to come. And what does he say concerning Zion, the church, or the kingdom? Glorious things are spoken of thee. This word glorious means weighty, heavy. Things that have a richness and a depth to them. Something that is more than the flighty. Something more than can be just blown about with every wind of doctrine. This is something the Lord has laid the foundation. And it's not going to be moved. It has a weightiness to it. It has a strength to it. And this, though you or I may fall away and not believe, the foundation of God is going to stay sure. And it will not be left to the whims of man or to the thinking of man, the sympathies of man. You know, we as people can be extremely sympathetic one toward another, toward our children, toward our spouses. And there's a place for that. Yes, indeed, there is a place for genuine pity and sympathy for one another. But we cannot let that sympathy toward man and our desire to see them have a right relationship with Christ to move us off, to move us off the foundation. The foundation won't move. The challenge we face today as the church is staying on the foundation and not be moved away because of sympathies, because of a heartfelt, earnest desire to increase in number. We want that, and that's legitimate, and that's good, but it should be for the kingdom and not for man's glory. Not just to say the roll is so-and-so this Sunday, the offerings are so-and-so this Sunday. Yes, we're interested in that, but it's weightier than that. And we have to be careful as we demonstrate and preach and teach the kingdom that it is sound founded on the doctrines of the Word of God. The kingdom is extremely important. This glorious church, this glorious kingdom is a weighty thing. Can't be trifled with. It's not to be trifled with. It's not to be manipulated. Jesus, God said through David, I believe, all my springs are in her. This word glorious also means rich. The kingdom of God is rich this morning. All the springs of the divine are found in her. This word is honorable. Has an honor to it. Did you know God has honored, how shall I say this? The glory of God is in the church or in the body. God Himself resides. Now, what we are part of is an honorable thing to the saints at Guthrie. That's who we're talking to this morning. Let's do not dishonor the glorious. God help me not to dishonor that which is glorious. By my words and my actions and my deeds or my life, by false doctrine or false teaching, or equating the glorious, exalted mountain of the Lord on a par and equal to all that that's going forth out of sectism today. Honor it. Because God has honored us. This word, glorious, means greater than the ordinary. That's what we're talking about this morning. Something greater than the ordinary. Folks, we can have the ordinary. We can have it anytime we want it. All we've got to do is turn our backs on God. All we have to do is not obey and not believe. We can have the ordinary, but we don't want the ordinary. The ordinary won't get you to heaven. The ordinary won't set you free. The ordinary is not righteousness and joy and peace in the Holy Ghost. The ordinary cannot afford what the kingdom of God has because it doesn't have it to give or impart to us. We can have the ordinary. The world is full of the ordinary. Oh, this morning, I'm not elevating man. Oh, we're praising God for the establishment of the church of God that you and me can be part of and flow into it. He'll honor us by allowing us to become citizens of a heavenly kingdom. The builder and maker is God. The sole authority is God in His Word and His Spirit. He puts them in and He puts the members out. He places the members where He will have us. It's His, 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 and all of His. But He has honored us to tell us about it. He has given us something and made available to us something greater than the ordinary. He said, I will make mention of Rahab and Babylon to them that know me. Behold, Philistia and Tyre and Ethiopia. This man was born there. Kind of a perplexing to me scripture. So I relied on some other people's writings on it, and I know I agree with this. People say, where are you from? I'm from New York City. I'm from Oklahoma City. Most people have a degree of pride in where they're from. People kind of like, majority of the time, to boast of where they're from. And they like to tell you a little of their heritage. Nothing wrong with that. They like to say, I was born in so-and-so, and you know, we know how to eat crawfish. You know, we like to maybe tell of a little of the glories that belong to Philistia or Tyre or Ethiopia. And it's recognizable. He was born there. Ask him. Tell him. He kind of vaunts that up a little bit. But something greater and a kingdom and a place more glorious than Zion. More greater than Tyre and Philistia. More greater than Ethiopia. You and I have something much more greater that we can say, I'm from God. I am of the heavenly kingdom. Down in Louisiana, there's quite a few United Pentecostals. Quite a few. And my wife and I would go into town, or she, her mother, sister, they'd see us or her, them, and walk up to her, give her a little smile, and say, whose church you go to? And Aileen kind of developed a time she would say, God's. You know, something better than New York City. It's the kingdom of God. Zion of God, the home of the free. And it said of this place, and of Zion it shall be said. Praise God for this. This man was born in her. This woman was born in her. And the highest himself shall establish her. Praise God today. There are places in the world that had a glory. And people no doubt considered it an honor to be from that place, that town, that country. All of those have been left to other people. And administrations change. Mayors change. Governors change. Presidents, kings change. And over a period of time, that kingdom can change and become disreputable, not so glamorous, and not so pretty. And to say then, I'm from so-and-so, well, man, I'm glad I'm not from there. Aren't you glad today that this kingdom we have is not left to another? It'll never be said it's gone down. I take issue with anyone who says the church is going down. It can't go down. God would have to go down first. The foundation of God would have to quake and tremble before it would go down. People go down. God and the church do not go down. And it said here, oh, this glorious thought. This man was born in her, and the highest himself shall establish her. The Lord shall count. The God of heaven, you know, we don't have a membership role. There's reasons for that. The Lord does the counting. It's His kingdom. I could tell you if I wanted to and made a poll how many people here today profess. And you could take that little piece of card with you and say, well, look, I professed in Guthrie and go to the judgment, and the Lord would not even look at it. The Lord is counting. The Lord is numbering Zion. The Lord shall count when He writeth up the people. And this is what He's going to count. Folks, this is the seal that every one of us must have. The Lord is going to be saying this. This man was born there. He didn't join in such. He didn't turn over new leaves. He didn't adopt a creed or a doctrine or a fanaticism or a compromise. He was born here. Peter, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus, ye must be born again. The only thing that's going to count on that day, the only thing that's going to count today, the only thing that's going to allow my eyes to be illuminated, this man, this woman was born. And that's what God is going to count. It's what God is looking at. This is the seal that we each one must have on our life. The Lord knoweth them that are His, He wrote in Romans. May the Lord help us, and we'll try to continue maybe some more on this line as the Lord leads. The church of God, the kingdom of God, the very kingdom of the Lord is vital. And it has so much that can be taught on it. This morning, have you been born into the kingdom? There's naturalized citizens, and there's citizens that are born here. You know, there's a lot of liberty to the naturalized citizen, but there's things they can't ever do. God has called us to liberty, freedom, joy, peace, and righteousness in the Holy Ghost. And we're going to go into this later on, of how the Holy Ghost and the day of Pentecost came, and how the power of the Lord was established in the hearts. There's so much here. But thank God this morning for the church of God. Thank God this morning that we can have this testimony that we were born here, born from above. You pray for me.